We're going to read some scripture together. I'd like you to turn with me, please, to the book of 1 Kings and to the chapter 19. A very familiar portion of scripture. 1 Kings and to the chapter 19. We commence our reading at the verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. Amen. And we do know that God will add his own blessing to the reading of his own precious word. We'll have a moment of prayer. Let's keep our Bibles open, please, as we pray over the precious word of God. Father in heaven, we thank thee for this, our time to gather in the house of God, for the hymns of Zion that have drawn us heavenward, for the tithes, for the offerings brought into the storehouse. Take and use it for your glory. We thank you, Lord, for the precious word of God that we have read together, that word that forever is settled in heaven. And we pray, Lord, that your word today would be a blessing to each one of our hearts. So, Lord, for these few moments of our time together, just give to us, Lord, that hearing ear and that understanding heart. Oh, that the Lord would speak to us today. So, Lord, shut us in now to thyself. We ask it in our Saviour's lovely, lovely name. Amen and amen. We have come to a very difficult period in the life of Elijah the prophet. Elijah steps into the scene, really, in chapter 17. He does so with a word that God would withhold rain and a great drought would come to the nation. In the previous chapter to this one, he has just won a great victory on Mount Carmel, and also through his intercessory prayer, God has ended the drought. But when we come to the opening verses of chapter 19, circumstances of life can change very, very, very quickly. We no longer see a bold, brave, valiant servant of the Lord, but instead we find a man fearing for life itself. He has just come off the mountain of victory to find himself suddenly in a valley of defeat, a valley of distress. Now, there is no doubt, dear friends, that we can all relate to Elijah at times in our own spiritual journey. Of course, there are times
We have enjoyed the mountaintops of God's grace and abundance and blessings. But there have been times when we have had to endure the valleys of doubt and even despair and maybe even defeat as well. But we must never, never, never forget, in the midst of circumstances, whatever they may be, that God has done great things amongst us, and God has done great things for us. But what I want to point out this morning is this. We need to be very, very careful in life's journey, because we too can find ourselves in much the same situation as Elijah. It can happen so easy, and it can happen so quickly. Now, as I read this passage of Scripture, we're all, I'm sure, touched by the statement that the angel made to Elijah. He said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." We are all on a journey through life. And that journey sometimes is too great for us as well. And as I consider this statement of the angel, "The journey is too great for thee," and as I look at this man Elijah, I want to look this morning at a man who was down, but not out. He was down, but he was not out. And as we look at this man and consider his situation, you see, friends, as we journey through life, as we navigate this spiritual journey of ours, there are pitfalls that can beset us, and there are pitfalls that will upset us. So we need to walk with our eyes carefully upon the Lord. Look at Elijah. Try to picture him as he sits there in that terrible situation that he's in. And what do we find? We find a man in deep despair. In deep despair. Here we find the elements of despair in Elijah's life. And they're all very prevalent to our lives as well. Many of us will recognize them. Here's a man, and because of his despair, he has totally lost his focus on the Lord. His focus has become distorted. It is apparent that Elijah has lost his focus for the Lord and lost his focus on the Lord. You see, the Lord had done mighty things. The Lord had done great things through this man's obedience. His life had been anything but ordinary. Once, as we've already said, he revealed the coming drought. What did God do? God sent him down to the brook Cherith, where the ravens fed him morning and evening. When the brook dried up, God sends him to the widow woman at Zarephath, again to sustain him. He had just prayed down fire from heaven, defeating the prophets of Baal and glorifying the Lord. And his prayer had brought about the end of that great drought. Elijah was on a spiritual high. But he very quickly loses his focus. He has forgotten about the awesome power of the God that he served. And instead, he's focused on the threats. He's focused on the accusations of a wicked, evil woman called Jezebel. Now, sometimes, friends, we tend to be critical about other Christians. But we have to be honest, because we too have found ourselves perhaps in the same situation. Oh, God has shown himself mighty in our midst, performing great things, as we've said, for us and amongst us. But yet we tend to lose our focus and we doubt his ability when the least little bit of trouble comes our way. We lose our focus on the Lord. I want to ask you a simple question this morning. How many times has God failed you in the past? How many times has God failed you in the past? How many times has God met our need when it seemed all hope was lost? How often? You see, we tend to look at the circumstances rather than look to the Lord. We focus on the storm rather than focusing on the one who can walk upon our storms. My dear child of God, don't let the problems of life distort your focus. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Oh, how well the hymn writer penned it when he said, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and of his grace." Don't lose your focus on the Lord. But I want you to see again this man, as he loses his focus on the Lord and for the Lord, what happens? Fear grips his heart. Suddenly fear has overcome him. And fear distracts him. He forgets about God. You see, God supplied Elijah's need when it seemed there was no other way. God delivered him time and time and time again, even allowing him to triumph over the 450 prophets of Baal. But he isn't focused on that. Elijah has forgotten all that God has done for him, and his heart is gripped with fear because of the threats of Jezebel, a woman. He has allowed fear to consume his life. Fear is a terrible thing. Now I know, and I mean it, I know, and you know from experience, that many of us has faced, and perhaps will face, the battle with fear. There are times we will allow our fears to distract us from being effective for God. I know that we have to go through tough times. There's been tough times perhaps financially, tough times physically. We worry about so many things that are not important. And we forget to realize that God is sovereign and God is always in control. God says in his word to us, "If God be for us, who can be against us?" Are you worried this morning, child of God? Are you fearful of something this morning, child of God? Listen, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Listen, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We must learn to trust God even when we are afraid. And I'll say this again. There's times it can be very difficult. Times it can be very, very difficult. This man has lost his focus. This man is gripped by fear. So what does he do? He takes flight. He takes a desperate flight. When things got bad, Elijah fled. Keep in mind, this is the same man that stood alone before the multitude at Carmel. But now he has fled for his life. He has left the place God had placed him, and he is seeking shelter. Where is he seeking it? Amongst the world. He's seeking shelter in the world. How sad. How sad. It says he came to Beersheba. But listen what it says next. And left his servant there. He distances himself from those who could have helped encourage him in this difficult time. You know, friends, God's people need to be there for each other. Because God's people need each other. How long has it been since you have put your arm around someone's shoulder and told them that you cared for them? And told them sincerely that you've prayed for them? You know, as we look at Elijah, this seems hard for us to grasp. But we have all been guilty of the same. When trouble comes, we take flight. The easy thing to do is to try and get away from them, to distance yourself from your troubles. But friends, running from problems will never solve them. It only causes more. It makes the problems worse. And I'll say this with a sad heart today. Many, many times God's people will abandon the house of God and they'll leave the people of God and they'll seek refuge in the world. In seasons of difficulty, we need to find our place in the house of God. And in seasons of difficulty, we need to find our peace in the house of God. The world has nothing to offer the child of God, only more misery. And sad to say, there are many, many people living like Elijah today. Fear has made them flee into the arms of a waiting world. And this morning, they're nowhere for the Lord. How sad. A man in despair. But I want us to consider, after we've diagnosed his despair, I want you to see the depths of this man's despair. Elijah's situation continued to worsen. And you see, that's what we expect to happen when we get away from the Lord. When we lose our focus on the Lord, things can only get worse. And I want you to see the position this man finds himself in. It says he went a day's journey into the wilderness. He is continually getting farther and farther and farther away from the Lord. This great man of God found himself all alone in a barren wasteland, totally, completely, and utterly alone. You read the scripture and there's no mention of prayer with Elijah. And there's no mention of fellowship. And there's no mention of meditation on the things of God. He has given in to defeat and he has wandered from the peace and tranquility of God to the depths of despair. What a position to be in. And I'm going to say it again with a heavy heart. How many times have we found ourselves in similar situations? When people have wandered far away from God and from the Lord, and before we even realize it, we're in a wilderness. And when you're into the wilderness, you have no thought of God or the things of God. And people abandon their prayer life, and they no longer read their Bible. And they no longer enjoy the sweet fellowship with the Lord and the Lord's people. My friends, this is a dreadful place for a believer to find themselves in. I'm going to ask us a wee question this morning. How is it with us today? How is our position with the Lord this morning? Because of this man's position, look at the peril he finds himself in. It says he requested for himself that he might die. This seems unreal. Totally unreal. This is coming from the lips of a man whom God had used in a wonderful way. This man had experienced the power of God like few others have. But Elijah has resigned to the defeat and simply wants himself to die. Lord, let me now. He's requesting it. He feels as if life has been of little or no value. And he says, now, Lord, rather than face the difficulties that lie ahead, I just want to die. He requested for himself that he would die. In other words, he's saying to the Lord, I can't take any more of this. Can't take any more. Those words are familiar, aren't they? Hasn't there been times in our lives when the burden has been so heavy, when the problems have been so great, that we've got before the Lord and we said, Lord, I can't take any more. I have been there. Lord, I can't take any more. Now, our situation may not have reached this point yet. But two dear friends, I believe something special needs to happen to us today. I believe that we need a divine resuscitation. I really believe in my heart that God needs to breathe upon us a breath of revival. And that's what I would ask for the Lord for myself this morning. That the Lord would revive my heart. I want you to see this man's self-pity. As things get worse, you see, friends, you can see the whole pattern. And suddenly he's sitting and he's full of self-pity. And he said, it's enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. Elijah had set himself up for a fall. You see, apparently Elijah had grown confident in his own ability. God has used him and performed great miracles through him, but it was God's power working through a mortal vessel. But it appears that Elijah is beginning to realize that he's no better than those who have gone before him. And he too was subject to the pressures and the trials of life, as we all are. But Elijah wasn't used to this. This wasn't life for Elijah, sitting with problems, sitting in despair. It seems as if he's having a poor me day. Satan has perched on his shoulder and accused him of being a failure. Such a mighty man of God, now reduced to one who is fearful, one who's running away, one who's sitting all alone in the wilderness, and he's feeling so sorry for himself. So sorry for himself. Poor me. Now, come on, be honest. We all recognize those symptoms, don't we? We have had those times when we have felt sorry for ourselves. We have had those poor me moments as well. Have we not all questioned why God would allow such things to happen to us? Lord, why the difficulties? The Lord himself told us that in the world you shall have tribulation. You're going to have trials, child of God. And you're going to have trouble, child of God. And you're going to have burdens, child of God. The Lord himself has told us that. And then he says to us, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. In the midst of your trials and your troubles and your burdens and your cares, Jesus is always there. Always. The diagnosis of despair and the depths of despair. But I want you to see finally, oh, this is lovely. This man discovers that there's devotion in his despair. There's someone who cares. There's devotion in his despair. You read it in verses 5 through to verses 8. You see, things were desperate. Things were desperate in this man's life. But all hope was not lost. Even in his moment of greatest need, God was there. God was there. He had not been forsaken. He had not been abandoned by God, not for one moment. Notice what God does. Look how God ministers to his child. The Lord was mindful of him. He was mindful of him. It says, "And as he lay there in verse 5 and slept under the juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat." He had fled for his life, finds himself in the wilderness, but he's not alone. He's not alone. God knew where he was. God knew where to find him. And as Elijah slept in total and in utter despair, God sent an angel to minister to his child. He came just at the right time, just when he needed him most. What a blessing. What a blessing. Dear child of God, isn't it good to know that we serve one who is mindful of us? Or we may be in the wilderness of life at times, feeling perhaps that we're all alone and hopeless. But God knows where we are. And God knows how to find us as well. And God knows this morning where you are in your journey. And he knows what you need. And there have been times, I'm sure, that you and I have been in despair. But at that very precise moment, the Lord has met with us and the Lord has encouraged us to press on. Child of God, God is mindful of you this morning. He knows where you are. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you need. Oh, the Lord was mindful and the Lord was merciful. The Lord fed him. Look at the patience the Lord had with him. God doesn't come to Elijah with words of rebuke. He doesn't say, "Well, Elijah, look at the state of you now, and it's all your own fault." The way sometimes the school teacher or the schoolmaster would have done, pointing the finger. "And I suppose since you've got yourself into this predicament, you expect me to get you out of it." Not at all. That's not God. He's patient with one whose faith has grown weak. He's patient with one who has walked away from his calling. How loving and how gracious and how patient our God is. Look at this man as he lies down. God draws near. I love the words of the psalmist, Psalm 23. And Elijah would testify to them. "He restoreth my soul." Look at the provision. Twice in these verses, God provides a meal for Elijah. In the wilderness, in a place of great drought, God is still providing for his child. The Lord was faithful even when Elijah wasn't. My friends, the same is true in our lives. God continually meets our needs. He's able and willing to prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. And even when we are unfaithful and undeserving, we have a God who is faithful to us. I am glad that his provision for me doesn't rest upon my actions. He has never failed me. He has never failed you. And I have no fear that he ever will. You know, I love the words of the old hymn. I used to sing it when I could sing. People would tell you I never could sing anyhow, but when we were singing, "Never failed me yet. Never failed me yet. Jesus' love has never failed me yet. This one thing I know as I onward go. Jesus' love has never failed me yet." I want to finish this morning. I want to finish by looking at the Lord's all-powerful might. It says he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights onto Horeb, the mount of God. The Lord knew the journey was too great for Elijah. He knew he would never make it in himself, but God provided a meal for him, a meal that would carry him for 40 days. That's a miracle. Elijah couldn't make it in himself, but through the power of God, he could. And I don't know what you're facing today, friends, but I'm glad that the Lord does. And whatever it is, if the journey is too great for us, the only hope that we have is through the power of God. We will never, never make it trying to survive on what the world has to provide for us. But this morning, we need to humble ourselves before the Lord. And we need to allow the Lord to provide for us. Christians can be stubborn, you know, even with God. We need to allow the Lord to have his way in our lives. Maybe you're here and you're not saved. You've never trusted Christ as your Savior. And you don't know about these tender mercies that we've been speaking about this morning. I want to remind you that the Son of God, the darling of God's bosom, the Lord Jesus Christ, he died on an old rugged cross so that you could be saved. And today all he wants of you is to come to him and accept him as your Savior. Christian, is there something in your life that you can't handle? Let the Lord have his way. Arise and eat this morning, for the journey is too great for thee. Oh, you may be down, but thank God you're not out. Jesus is always there. I trust the Lord will bless his word to our hearts.